hear out there. And the talk of the day, the storm. Yeah, we've been talking about that and what has been happening here in the Kuskokwim Delta. Not just here, but the Yukon area. We had. It's looking back at the years that this type of weather that have happened, it's not as severe, but still we had a lot of water. It came up fast, and for some people that haven't seen it come up like this, like for me, this is the first time I've ever seen it coming up that fast. Even the road down there by the prop shop, it was dry 1 minute, then the other. We went around second time, the water going over already. So it was that fast. Looking at the times like 3-4 years ago when we had that flooding time too, those were gradually coming up. This one was fast, so it might become a norm for us that these types of weather will be happening. Looking at the National Weather Service too, there is a prediction of a storm that is brewing up in our Bay Area in Bering Sea, and it's expected to land in a couple of days, like Wednesday or Thursday. We're kind of hoping, we're looking at it like it might hit further up north mostly, but I know that we're going to be affected by that weather too. So looking at what has happened this past couple of days, let's be expecting the worst. And if we don't have things elevated, if we're in the low-lying areas, now is the time to start elevating stuff that we might, speaking in a language that's not too fitting for everybody to hear, if we lose something. Upyusuku. I have a guest here. He'll introduce himself and where he works, where he's from, his parents, all that good stuff.
Thanks, Sam. Yeah, my name's Avery Hoffman. I'm a fish biologist for the Kuskokwim River Intertribal Fish Commission. And my parents are Stasha and Anna. So I just answered your questions there. I think that's the most I'll go. The wind has been blowing periodically for the past week, and yeah. I mean, the only thing I can think of that's positive with this storm is that it's pushing the last of the silvers up the river to the spawning ground. So other than that, you know, it pushes in the last group of silvers coming up, and you know, we need all that we can get with these silvers. Some the last 5 years these runs haven't been looking the best, but you know, this run is almost, it's lower on the column of a good run. So, you know, it's always good to get the fish in. And, you know, we used to see quite a bit of those south wind storms. And every time I see them, I just think that they're just pushing fish into the river. So that's the only thing I kind of correlate them with.
Yeah, I was more looking at like seals that get pushed into the river too with this type of weather.
I thought I seen one, so
yeah,
my head was turning.
Yeah, when I was a young kid back then, we used to go riding around in our boats right after these types of storms. And me and my brother used to get in a boat and take slow rides downriver by mouth of Johnson and then head up. We never had any luck, but we got into groups where they were going after a seal. We were never successful alone. After he got married and I got married and we started our own families, then one or two times I was successful in this inner area of the Kuskokwim. Not very many. To start things off, I'm kind of curious, did we get the numbers of the king salmon, the chums, reds, the numbers that were harvested this year around here in the Kuskokwim area?
Yeah, I have those for you, Sam. So with this summer's openers from June 3rd to August 10th, I have the Chinook numbers that have been harvested was about 22,000. The chum salmon harvest was just about 14,000. The sockeye salmon harvest was just about 15,000. And the coho that we've did harvest monitoring for was about just under 3,000. So, you know, through these summers and with these restrictions that have been going on for the past about decade and under these kind of community-based harvest monitors that we have throughout the lower Kuskokwim drainage from Tuluksac down at Eek. These, with the Chinook, under restriction, we catch about 20,000, or we subsist about 20,000 Chinook under a season with some restriction. So that's about normal for us. And, you know, the chums haven't been doing too good for the last few years. And, you know, this is the most that we've seen them this year. So this is the reason why there's a spike in chum. And, you know, with the bountiful sockeye, it's hard to have a multi-salmon species run. And, you know, there's alternative gear types that you can go fish for sockeye with. So a lot of those don't really get monitored, but we know it's happening. And the non-spawning tributaries, we try to get some, but we haven't had any success with that. And lastly, with our community-based harvest monitoring, we've had them monitoring these last few openers in August, but with the weather and the lack of effort to go out, our harvest monitors have been checking a few hours during an opener, but it just seemed like the pressure was low.
That very first day when the federal biologist opened up our Kuskokwim, right at the end of the month, I went out that first day and went down below Johnson and did a few sits, and then right when the tide was turning, I went right up to the sandbar, and I made my set, and I stayed there for maybe like 5 minutes, maybe even less, and then I caught a fish, I seen it, and then I just when the tide was starting to move, as soon as that happened, my net got caught on a snag, so I pulled it in, and it was a king. I was so surprised that, and it was in good color. It wasn't red, you know, it was perfect. And it happened right when they were doing that 40-day feast for Nuss and them. So I told my wife, let's cut the head off and piece up the meat and cook it up and bring it up to that feast. And that's what we did for our donation. And it was it was a blessing in a way to honor those three victims of that that the fire consumed. They were all related to me. They were all related to us. So it's been a trying year, and it still is. You know, we're still losing family out there, and recently, what's his name? Atchuk. Peter Atchuk's daughter is married to one of my nephews, one of the Berlins, Alexei Berlin's boy. Just recently passed away. I think they're still doing visitations, and I haven't heard when the funeral is going to be. And today at noon, one of the Coolidge family members is being in the process of probably being buried as we speak. So keep them in prayer. Losing a family member is not going to stop. It's something that we live with. But as we start to multiply in our family roots are growing, it's a given that it's going to be happening more frequently than we expect. But that's life. We're going through it, and it's good to know that that there was quite a bit of King Salmon, 20,000. 20,000 kilugu takayakwakni kech pakkupiasam tne awai manikus kukwi milloni 20,000 kilugu makunik takayakwakni tigutut shusinit uakn kus kukwi mpayangan kevat lainam tanun ninun tkilugu naku masakt kech pakka naksuk tsaagasam tne Akunisu ashakuni psusagni makutta kangit nagat a chang tawa kaksait shut kech pagtagamawai. What was that number for the chum? 14?
Just under 14.
Right under 14,000. 14,000 chalinunni ni makun kech pag ikasugnik pishusi niukut manikus kokwakami. Kangit ngit na sa amin chatta, sayit na sun rita putta, tamako nikmai nakangukut, unakus kokwak tamako nik nakalikayak chame. What was that number again for the Reds?
15,000
chalit kisu ko, ikasug ni kuin ko kaktakalutang, takuham toy, makut, kawihelit nukhmuhtut maani. Makutsutoy kakiyat mai pik putta 8,000 nunini tamatam nunini tutsput pita ringiluteng awai umpayala justam pilkhani khwatin anuk kubakiluni pekan khwakin anuk sikiluni ungalam ka nqnikit chilalha awanilu akishut kluki khwa commercial fishakluta belalmtni. That was what we used to hope for, a good strong wind, south wind, to make a good catch. My toy it hit akumawai ulhane nakt ikshita imching ay katmun ikhnishkaita nun ninun huingastoy makut imakpikimutat imakpimungung si So there's a positive thing to this type of weather that we're getting. Is there anything else that you have that you wanna?
Yeah, I have a kind of an end of the season report of how just things were with the Fish Commission and U.S. Fish and Wildlife. So, but please, after I'm done, please try to, or if people want to call in and give their reports on what they thought each salmon species run was like, we'd love to hear your thoughts and hear what you're thinking. So with the Kuskokwim Federal Management, the Fish Commission, as everyone may know, that we have a strong partnership with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. And our five in-season managers, with the support of the staff, met regularly with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Fisheries team. The federal management of the Kuskokwim from the mouth of the river to the Aniak was rescinded August 17th under temporary special action. We believe we had a successful co-management season together with the Fish Commission and U.S. Fish and Wildlife. We meet about weekly to assess the Chinook, Chum, and Coho salmon runs. Generally, the general takeaways from the 2024 runs under Chinook was the in-season project showed widely different data from the Chinook runs. Bethel test fish showed a very poor run, likely because the channels have been changing. Bethel sonar showed a medium-sized, below historical averages run. Community harvest estimates showed about what we've seen in recent low abundant years, with the split of good size to about Jack Kings. Local and traditional knowledge said it was about average to recent low abundant years. Kings were helped with the high and cold water this summer, and harvests were low in the middle and upper river. With the chum runs, were much better than historical lows seen in the years of 2021 to 2023. And the most fishers caught, more chum than previous years. However, chum are still low, well below average abundance, and the middle river people are just starting to see their carcasses again in the tributaries. So that's good that they're getting up and spawning. With the sockeye, as people know, is a very strong run again, as predicted. Some reds were large, but many were small this year. Slower start to the catch of the reds in about July. At first, many fishers were catching more chums than sockeye, and the first time we've seen it since the pre-2021 chum crash. Lastly, we have the coho. The coho runs were better than 2018-2022, although still well below historical abundance, the runs border the lower end of our management threshold, which was based on the Bethel test fishery data. For this season, federal management closures continued into mid-August, when we estimated more than 50% of the run has passed lower river, and there wasn't much pressure to fish. We receive reports of smaller coho this year than other years. Along with that, we provided 15 set net openers fishing periods from June to August, plus 9 days of continuous 6-inch drifter set net fishing from July 23 to 31. Lastly, Koyana to our tireless in-season managers and team and alternates, starting from upriver, Nick Alexia Sr., Betty Magnuson, Jonathan Samuelson, Megan Leary, Walter Morgan, Mike Williams Sr., Henry Hunter Sr., Ralph Nelson, Noah Wise, and Paul Cleveland, and James Nickerai, and as well to our U.S. Fish and Wildlife partners. So that was kind of what the Fish Commission saw with each salmon species. And what do you think?
Yeah, it's good to see that the chums are on a climb. And when I was growing up, that used to be one of the primary dry fish that we hung right after kings, right after we bring all the kings into the smokehouse. We would refill the chum, our fish dry racks with chums. And my brother and I used to go out and make one set. Our dad used to have a 60 mess, 5.5 chum net. And that net was awesome. You know, you put it out and it will catch fish no matter what. And the only place that we could use it up here was right below the Standard Oil, right down to where our fish camp comes out, right little ways past it. That was the deep part. And that was the only place where we could use it. Another place we used it during commercial was down by Johnson River, from little ways up Johnson on down to Gangichlak area and pull in. Never go past it, never. We've never tried it anywhere else due to the depth of that net. We still have it. I think my younger brother still has that webbing. But it's just for souvenirs now, other than anything else, you know, of what our dad had. So I don't know if it's still usable, but it's still there. What are the upcoming agendas do you guys have for meetings, hearings and stuff? Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys have planned for the winter?
Yeah, that is something that I didn't prep for, so we'll see if I can think of stuff on top of my head. So I know we are just pulling out all of our pulling out the weirs and trying to get all the in season harvest stuff out. So, and we're gonna have our end of the season gathering with U.S. Fish and Wildlife. We think in October, because you know this turnaround from fishing to pulling out the weirs and eDNA stuff, and just making sure all the weir stuff's out with our partners with U.S. Fish and Wildlife and with Fish and Game. You know, even though sometimes that management isn't all together, but we still all work together with helping to get data about our precious salmon that we have on our river. So after all that is pulled out, you know, everyone jumps straight into moose hunting. So, and moose hunting goes for a while,
yeah.
And it's kind of a crazy part of the season right now, and pulling everything out. To, once things start to slow down, you know, we'll be able to come back and reassess with ourselves. But I'm not sure about any public hearing or other stuff that we'll be doing. I'm sure I can get that announcement out once I know that information. But you know, there's the YK Delta Rack meeting Wednesday the 21st to Friday the 23rd in Bethel. So You know, there are many places you can go and speak and still wanting to be heard, like the Salmon Management Working Group meeting every Wednesday at 10 a.m. I don't think they're having it this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I think they're meeting next Wednesday, the 28th. So even though that the Fish Commission doesn't really have a place or a meeting to get public input, but we have the Fish Talk, you know, we have in-season teleconference, and we have working groups that we go to. But if you want to call in, it's 543-5985 or 543-2756 or the toll-free 1-800-995-8954. Or you can email radio at kyek.org. We love to get your input. We know the fishing season has coming to a close or coming to an end, but we still love to get some inputs. And, you know, it's been a crazy year, so we just want to hear how things are going. Lastly, the fishing game has resumed salmon management on August 17th, and subsistence fishing is open 24/7 with no gear regulations. So that's 60 mesh depth net. You're 5.5. It's go time. You better pull that off the shelf there. And then there's a few announcements: commercial fishing openers for registered or catcher sellers, August 17th, August 19th, 21st, 23rd. 25, all from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Mm. But, you know, with these kind of catcher-seller openers, you are still allowed to fish for subsistence during these scheduled commercial fishing. I know it wasn't always that case, but the last working group meeting, I kind of asked the fishing game to clarify if, you know, the subsistence people can fish at the same time. Mm-hmm. And no regulations, so that means you can use any net you want to use, any size. And then I know one of the weirs down in Good News was affecting the river, so they had to get all hands on deck, and I'm not sure who is in the Bethel office with the fishing game.
And also the number of gears that we have started hearing that people are using, mostly in Quinnahock and Good News area, the number of nets that can be used when they are out subsistence fishing, is that still in effect?
So I don't think we clarified that because I know fishing with two nets was an issue during kind of the midsummer management, but I think that also gets reverted back to no regulation. If the in-river is considered no regulation, I assume it should carry out to the coast, because I know they only had one regulation, but don't quote me. I mean, you can check with your local fishing game and see if that has changed. At those meetings, I haven't heard any difference or update, but that's what I have on that topic. With our community-based harvest monitoring, it's the end of this, or we just completed our last survey during the last federal opener on the 15th to the 16th. We are holding the end of the season gathering with our community-based harvest monitors this week, Wednesday. Our eDNA data collection project is still going on with the George River Weir. It's continuing to take eDNA collection until September. We also have other water temperature monitoring network along the Tekotna River. Those will be in until September. I myself was looking to pull out the Lower Kuskokwim loggers before the end of August, and communicating with other groups and organizations about the ongoing data collection efforts. So, you know, we're trying to take water temperature loggers along the Kuskokwim just to get the water temperatures throughout the summers. And you can let me know when you're ready for the bycatch and intercept update.
We akut away alahut kli kehpak makunik nqsukta galmtni akut away ikirulu tapilu tapilhitta 11 openers. We have a caller. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Kiktu watang na asan ngan jamingos ang which department tam.
Avery.
Region kam kumakna jakon kam mat pingan nukhil nik kaman.
Imugok Avery Hoffman makan mam tresing in the Tribal Fish Commission nani backlini.
Oh, okay, yeah, fish and game man kon ingun kasukulpita umam. Yeah, hello Avery, Stanley calling from Kasiku. Are you familiar with that sonar they use below the Y or special area?
Yep, I can tell you almost anything about that sonar. I'm pretty well versed in it, so.
Oh, nice, good. Yeah, I've been pretty impressed all summer when they come up with the really accurate information. Like, do fish have different signatures or different ringtones? Like, I was pretty impressed when they said there's a certain number of Cisco whitefish and a certain number of broadhead whitefish and she-fish and number of chums and number of reds.
Perfect. So, with the sonar, you know, they have two different sonars on each side of the river. One side on the cutbank side, they have it's either the Ditson or the Aris, and it has a split beam, so it counts the all different water columns from the top of the water to the bottom of the river. And on the other side, it shoots out from the sonar or from the shallow side to the middle, and with both those sonars combined, it reaches about almost all the way across the river. There's about maybe a 10-meter missing area. But with that no coverage zone, there it is the main part of the channel. So, you know, most fish do swim in slower moving water, so they swim, they're pretty bank oriented, so not much fish are swimming there. But the sonar does count, I believe it is every 2 hours for about half an hour, but they're continuously counting. With the way that the sonar picks up on the fish as they swim upriver is that the fish have a different density than the water. So you know that those fish are swimming upriver. There is a live feed. You can see them swimming upriver past the sonar, but you also can see like debris flowing downriver, boats going by, people swimming, nets going through. So, you know, these sonars pick up on the different density of the water. So everything is picked up. Along with that sonar, there's a test fishery there. They fish 18 times a day with all mesh size from 2.5 to, I believe, 8.5. So with the test fishery, they fish in three different zones, about kind of the middle channel, the deep side of the cut bank, and the shallow side. So three different zones, they fish it with three different mesh size. So when they fish with their 2.5 inch, you know, they can catch suckers or small fish swimming upriver. When they go to 4 inch, they catch a lot of ciscos and other type of variety of whitefish. And then once you kind of get to the bigger mesh, you catch the salmon and sheafish and whatnot. But these drifts are only, I think, 5 to 12 minutes long max. And each different zone has a different time of fishing. So they fish for a certain amount of time, and whatever they catch in that short amount of time, they can go back to the data that they were counting. And that's how they correlate the of what's going by. So if you catch 50 ciscos in 5 minutes, you know, majority of those fish that were counted had to be cisco. And the same with red, chinook, chum, and all different types of species. So the sonar is very complex, but the more you learn about it, it gets very simplified, and it counts fish and use a test fishery to catch fish, and the majority of the fish that were caught kind of go toward the majority of the squiggly lines that swam up river. So there's a bit of statistical work in there, but it's, you know, if you catch more reds and chums, then, you know, there's going to be more reds. So anything else with that?
No, I thought they just had a very sophisticated sonar that could distinguish the different species of fish that swim by.
You know, that would make everything so much easier.
Have a certain ringtone, big king goes ding, 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 small fish goes ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, on one of the sonars, there is live feed, so you can actually see the fish swimming, the different size, how long it takes them to swim past the sonar, is it swimming back up river, is it swimming down river, are there local fish? You know, there's a lot of movement there in the water, so it's a wonderful thing. If you ever have a chance to go up to it, the people at the sonar would love to take you for a tour. Anybody that wants to go by, they do take tours and kind of give you the rundown, and you know, the sonar also catch fish, so sometimes they have fish sitting on the dock, and anybody that is driving by is welcome to take fish if they have it, and to get an understanding of a little bit more what the sonar does in person.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I'd like to visit one of those sonars in the future. I did go up to the George River Weir once and could actually see the fish swimming up.
Yeah, with the different water turbidity and how clear it is changes the ability to see. But also with the sonar, the other reason why it works, it's below the major tributaries. It's below the three Ks, Keysrelik, Kasigluk, and Kweekluk. And it's also on a single-channeled river. And, you know, at the bottom profile of the river, there's no hills under there. So the sonars really do reach all parts of the water column. And there's not really many, there's not many shadows that fish can hide behind to not get counted. So it's really nice. It's really good.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. All right. Thank you very much for the information. And guys, have a wonderful week.
Guyana.
Guyana.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We have another caller. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. I was wondering on that disaster relief, if someone is fortunate enough to receive one, a check, how much will it be? And on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst and 10 being the best, what are the odds of us actually getting one this time? Because I signed up a few years ago and never became true. So, what's your
disaster relief
answer on that? And plus, the only thing that you guys really do is put like 99.9% of your energy on keeping us from fishing. Like the 0.0001% is, you know, not really helping us. So, what's your thought on that fishing game?
There's no fishing game here to answer that.
I know, but still, what's the fishing game? What are the odds of us actually getting a disaster relief this time, this year, actually?
If you're wondering about the rest of the season for July, the river is open unrestricted as of...
No, I'm not talking about fishing. I'm talking about receiving a disaster relief check.
Yeah, we don't do no disaster relief. We do fish.
I mean, it's still the same, so...
That disaster relief fund is up to the government.
Yeah, the government.
Or the state. But my recommendation to you is fill one out. What can it hurt? You know, just try it again.
And plus, I know it's pretty much the same record playing. You talk about sonar and restrictions, and it's kind of very hypocritical that fishing game wants to preserve the fishing, more not the ones, you know, dragnetting the sea by the thousands of tons. We only catch what we need, and that's about it. All right, Sam, thank you. And it's like no real answers again. I'll try give it another try and see what happens later on this month.
Oh,
okay,
yeah. But reminder to you, I'm going to ask you a question for me. Kuya Dulinun Mai Unakuskok Ikechtuk. Pitchetun Kuvian Katukuluchi, Kuvia Yungaluchi. Tamaskum Kukuvia Lutin, Kuvia Yukut.
Really? Finally.
Yeah, it's wide open.
Fishing game at $200 a fish, geez, that's like, to them it's nothing, and to us it's a whole lot, especially if we catch a boatload and they, you know, go, hey, we got to find you $200 a fish.
Today, is it starting today or was it yesterday? The Kuskokwim River is wide open.
Yeah, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife rescinded their the special action as of August 17th at 12:01. Okay. So the fish and game does have control of the river now. And whenever you're ready, we have an email from the Kuskokwim area biologist, Sam Decker. So whenever...
I'm not talking about credentials. I just want to know...
Oh, no, we just have an announcement from our fisheries biologist.
It's pretty much the same fish talk over and over again. Sonar counting restrictions. But
we have a report that we need to
All right, you guys have a nice day then.
Yeah, koyana kalagalin.
Yeah.
Koyana kwa akuna kalalga. Pama kunta kulumkjali akutsala. Nefilka kalalga koya wikluku. Umkdram anansumentam pinkhtugutta abrim kwani kwanakcheka. Sasabut una nangnegan. 1 hour king and pikatashukut.
So we got an email from Sam Decker, but she wasn't able to make it due to that pulling out of breaking down camp at Good News Bay. So I will read her email for everybody. With the now that the state is managing the waters again, their data indicates that the coho run is expected to be average. And we expect to meet all escapement goals. We do not have conservation concerns for the coho, Sam, so there are no gear or time restrictions for subsistence fishing. So this will answer a question for earlier. Mm-hmm. Subsistence fishing is open for all fish, any length net up to 50 fathoms. No mesh size restrictions. Set net must be marked with the name and phone number or address and a red buoy. You can put your net no more than 50% across a river. All other subsistence gears are allowed. This is the default settings for the state. So there is no announcements for this. State waters are always open to subsistence fishing unless there is a conservation concern. Thank you for all the help. I wish I could be at Fish Shock today, but I have to get the crew the Good News to work on the weir. Mm-hmm. And if folks have any questions, they can call Fish and Game at 907-543-2433. Press 0 to talk to a human. So that was from Sam. Thank you, Sam, for reaching out. And for the people of the public that want to hear about what's going on with the state.
Yeah. You also mentioned during commercial fishing, commercial opener akata catch and sell lakalutin tunakamchnik pilreit. Tana mentioned nakanaluku, yuchtun piluku. Tamakunik tunakanik kina imna kipu chulramaknakmak tunewik kamenik nalakosuni pikuni. Dated ahkut. Time at two atam nakn kicht kakhluki pikum ki tonishu at that time commercial fish shakhlutin pikata for catch and sell. There's also subsistence can participate at that same time. But before we get into that, we have a caller waiting. She's been patiently waiting for a while. Bertha, good afternoon.
Hi.
Good afternoon. Hi.
Am I in the talk show?
Yeah, a student.
Oh, hi. This is Bertha Stevens calling, and I'm from Bethel. I have the announcement, God Lord Jesus Christ is calling. The trumpet sounded.
Yeah, but we're doing fish talk. There's another time for that in a place. Going back to that commercial fish catch and sell, not commercial fishing, catch and sell.
Yep, so it's catch and sellers. They're registered catch and sellers, but they have to have a commercial license to fish. So with that commercial fishing opening, it'll be they are scheduled for August 17th, which is already passed. There's one on the 19th, which is today, 21st, 23rd, 25th. And all of these scheduled commercial openers are from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and they're for registered catcher sellers.
And registration, where does that happen?
So I'd assume it's at Fish and Game that because it's Fish and Game's commercial announcements. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to know more about that, please contact Bethel Fish and Game to see how you can become a catcher seller. Or I don't know much about that. I believe it's only one person who does the catching selling. So that's why I asked, you know, because in the past with the commercial fishing opener, they would close it for subsistence. Mm-hmm. So since I believe it is only one person, so it doesn't really affect the subsistence fishing people. So it's kind of all clustered. But since it's a commercial fishing opener, they have to have scheduled announcements for that time. You can do it.
I got to look into that because I have a commercial fishing permit that I haven't renewed in a couple of years. It's sitting in Juneau doing nothing. Catcher seller. Wow. So if you have a permit that's sitting in Juneau and you need to be doing something, if you can find a buyer, that's the thing. Someone that's willing to buy fish and fresh, sell your fish fresh, you know, somebody will buy, my bet.
Yeah, and I believe you have to have a registered buyer before you can become a catcher seller.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a process. It's not just go out there, you can go fish and sell commercially. So it's a bit of a process to get through. Lastly, I have my bycatch and intercept fishery updates. From the Bering Sea fisheries, the Chinook salmon bycatch as of 8:15 is 8,600, and 7,000 of those are from the Pollock trawlers. On average, 40% to 50% of these Chinook are from the Western Interior Alaska, including the Kuskokwim. In 2007. The bycatch was at 130,000. That was from 1991 to present record. In 2021, it was just under 16,000, with 53.5% of those bound for Western Interior Alaska and the Kuskokwim. Genetics, about 8,500 of those fish that were caught that were bound for Western Alaska. In 2022, 8,300 Chinook. And that genetic percentage was 40.4% was to be returned to the Western Interior Alaska and the Kuskokwim, and that turned out to be about 3,400. So with that trend, it seems like it is going down, but it is still a concern of a bycatch. That was the Bering Sea fisheries. And last year, 14,600 Chinook were caught, and 47.5% of those, so about 7,000, were bound for these coastal areas. The Bering Sea fishing chum salmon bycatch as of 8:15 is 21,500. 20,000 of those caught by the Pollock trawlers. On average, 12% to 20% of these chum are from Western Alaska, and most chum bycatch occurs between mid-June to late August each year. 99% of those chum bycatch is taken by the Pollock fishery. 2005, there were 712, I don't even know how to say that. three quarter of a million, so we're just going to go with that. With the 1991 to present record, 2021, just about 500,000 chum with 8.9% with genetic testing for Western Alaska. 2022, just about 250,000 chum, 21.1% with genetics, about 52,000 chum that were bound for Kuskokwim Interior Alaska. And 2023, it was 116,700 with the low of 8.3% genetics that were bound for this area. So just under 10,000 fish were, or just under 10,000 chum were caught. And again, this one has been repeated for many times now, but it is one of the biggest concerns that we have is the June Area M fishery, over 418,000 chum salmon caught by the end of June. The June Area M fishers intercept high numbers of Western Alaska chum salmon migrate through the False Pass and Umiak Pass during that month. In the last 15 years, anywhere from 18% to 57% of chums caught in the area and June fisheries are for Western Alaska origin. In 2023, 28%, so 1 in 4 chum caught were bound for Western Alaska, and harvest this year did not meet the cap set by the Board of Fish in February 2023 to limit or close the June fisheries and conserve Western Alaska salmon migrating through that region. Mm-hmm. So, excuse my little mess ups. There's a lot of numbers on this page that kind of gets a little confusing to say.
Yeah, so that wraps up our final fish talk for the year. Kuya Wiklugu, Avery, the state, Sam Mucken, and the fish biologist from the Fish and Wildlife Reserve. Chris and Aaron. Kuya Wiklugu, Jalita, the guys that are up and down the Kuskokwim, the McGrath Post, and then Asatlu, Ilagao Taksitin Kekbak Bishit. Next year, if God permits it, we'll be back. So, Kuya Nakwata Makhjini Jugnilrani Pirchi.